Well, hey, everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back to the AI4 Model Y. Well, unexpectedly, last night, we got another software release, 13.2.5.1, and this software went out to all three vehicles. It went to the AI4 Model Y, it went to the Cybertruck, and I also heard from my son that it went to his Hardware 3 Model Y, but it was on 12.5.6.2. So another simultaneous release. The release notes did not change, just to kind of put them here on the screen for you. All the upcoming stuff changed and all of the current include stuff changed. So this is just a point release. So I'm here in, let me go ahead and put it in park and just show you, we are still on a FSD supervised press to drive in the Model Y, and away we go. I was a little further away from the curb this time, so it wasn't quite as nervous about that. So let's see what we get. You know, without any release notes, this is just a guess on what's going to happen here. So maybe we'll do a couple unprotected left-hand turns and then do our Memorial Park first impressions routine, just so you can do any side-by-sides if that makes you happy. And we'll go from there. Wow, I didn't get a NHTSA stop on that one at all. Did you notice that? Interesting. A small gap here. Is it going to go for the median? It waited on that. Interesting. I would have thought it would have gone for that one because there was nobody coming from the right. It could have been a roller. So two interesting things just happened. We didn't get a NHTSA stop. It went straight to the creep line and there was no traffic coming from the right and it skipped its first gap. There's a little gap here, but this one's smaller and it didn't budge. Interesting. So, and now we have a car coming in the truck, a little truck coming in the front. You see him there in the overhead view probably, and now you can see him out of the front. So he is now a constraint. I'm guessing he's pulling into the neighborhood just by his angle. And let's see what type of gap he takes. There's a little gap here. Yep, he's running with a pre-roll on that one. But we're waiting. And the traffic's thinning out here from the left. So we'll see. We got another car coming into the median here. So we can't go, even though our gap is here, because of this car. So that car just rolled it. Okay, now we have traffic from the right. So here's a little gap. It can go to the median. Didn't even flinch. To me, this is new unprotected left-hand turn behavior. Oh, there's another medium gap. It's clear from the left, clear from the right. It's going to be a roller. So have they eliminated the median? I don't know. I mean, that was fine. It waited, but it waited for gaps that it previously would have gone for. That felt different. So let's do another unprotected left-hand turn, and then we'll get going on our drive and do our U-turn also. Stick with me. Be right back. All right, here we go again. Let's see if we get our NHTSA stop this time. Yeah, that's kind of a NHTSA stop there. Yeah, so we got to stop that time. So that was two different behaviors there. Okay, a creep, and we're clear from the left and from the right. So we got a gimme on the round two there. So not much to really talk about, but that might need its own dedicated unprotected left-hand turns video maybe in the next day or so. I'll try to see if I can get that done. All right, I just modified the route, so now it needs to do a U-turn. It's got our U-turn mapped in the same usual spot, but it needs to get over. There we go. So isn't that weird? Like the first one, it didn't even do a NHTSA stop, and the second one, it did. That randomness behavior always just annoys me because it just feels so probabilistic and undetermined, and it does something different in different times, different conditions. I don't know. It's kind of like, if I don't really know what the car is going to do every single time, then I might not really know how to supervise it. When it's unsupervised, I probably wouldn't even notice that. But since we're supervising and kind of watching and seeing what's changed between each version, when things like that happen, it makes me wonder what's really going on under the hood as to why it would roll straight to the creep on one and not on the other. All right, here's our first gap. Nobody approaching from the left or the right. It should be able to do this, but it's got to kind of have the right oomph. There's two cars coming. Keep going, nice and smooth, good. The Model Y U-turn here is much, much better than the Cybertruck. On that last version, the Cybertruck was just horrible with the way it executed it. The Cybertruck also has this version, but I have to be honest, there's a lot of you out there that don't watch my Cybertruck content, and it takes me just as long or longer to make that content. So sometimes I'm not always as motivated to get out there and crank out two videos in a day when really only one of them is being watched because it just takes so much time. But in any case, I'll probably get out and drive it around and get some clips, but maybe not on the same day today. After that unprotected left-hand turn situation, I'm really kind of thinking I want to do a UPL video on this car next, but we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I'm really a little bit surprised this version snuck up on us. And I say that because normally we kind of have a pattern of the Tesla ADAS operators kind of validating on the turn before a release comes out. But then to have this being a minor release with a fourth digit, a 0.1, also kind of lends to the point of there's nothing that really changed in this one. And I've got a new theory we'll have to kind of test and support to say, could they have deployed A and B versions of the last software to whatever, dozens or hundreds of people, and they watched both versions since it was released about a week ago and said, which one of these is better? And then we're just going to deploy this to everybody with some minor tweaks and without even needing to validate it. That would be fascinating to know. To know if that's possible. A/B testing obviously is possible, but to send it out without a full QA cycle that we're used to seeing was notable. Excuse me. Okay, no gap there. Don't go for that. See how fast that truck's going? Ooh, boy, it felt like it wanted to go, but then it saw him and it reacted quickly. That was really, really good. Did you see that steering wheel flinch there, though? It was gonna go, and that truck was really speeding to make that light. And it corrected. That would have been a disengagement had it gone about another half a second maybe and showed intent and acceleration for that curve. All right, here we are in our narrow roads scenario in Birkenhead with a nice stop here and a creep. Yeah, there's a NHTSA stop there, so they didn't get rid of NHTSA stops. Don't worry about that. Looking in the cameras, if you want to see how close it is to the edge of the road, no issues there with these smaller cars. First speed bump, no issues here. Slowed down to 10, another car, didn't flinch at all. It's using up that side of the road just fine. Got a little bit larger vehicle approaching here with this truck. We'll see if the encounter works out. This should just be a stop and go because its visibility is fine from the stop sign. Is it gonna get over any closer to the road? It's slowing down a little bit more. It's not budging, though. It needs its 6 inches there on the screen. Another little... Okay. I did not... Did you see what the wheel did there? That made me uncomfortable. Jerky steering wheel near oncoming vehicle. So I disengaged there because it startled me, and the way the wheel jerked near that vehicle towards it was unexpected, and it has not done that in a while. I don't know what the vector looked like, but that's worth looking at. But as that large Escalade, I believe it was an Escalade, approached, it felt like it went towards the vehicle just as it was approaching, which was not comfortable. Not exactly sure what that was. Maybe take a closer look and post on that and see what the trajectory did, if it had a little bit of a waggle. All right. In any case, here we are, unprotected left with a suicide lane or center turn lane. I'm sorry, I'm going to try to use that term better. It needs to go to the middle lane now. And the left lane is, oh, no, it's not. It's not open. Ooh. Okay. It tried to push these cars over. You can't do that. I mean, those cars had the right of way, and you just tried to exert yourself into the lane. Improper use of center turn lane by forcing itself into traffic. All right, well, dang, that's two. I don't know if you could see that or not in the footage I have, but it went to the center turn lane. So it tried to do the unprotected left without going to the center turn lane. It went into the center turn lane, but there are two cars coming, and it tried to force itself over and push those other cars over, but those cars had not committed to moving over. So it was trying to force the situation without them turning their blinker on and changing lanes. That was uncomfortable. So I don't know. So far, I want my old version back. The waggle on the narrow roads and the unprotected center turn lane was not good. All right, let's move on. That's why we're here supervising. The right-hand turn here into the school zone, I'm looking at the time, it's 8:30. The school zone might have just ended, so we might not get the flashing light scenario today. I was trying to get out here early enough, but maybe I didn't. Yeah, I don't think it is up there. So we'll have a different scenario. You notice how it gets in this lane every single time now on this road. I'm in standard, so it's not like I'm in hurry or anything like that. But it does consistently get in this lane. Maybe it doesn't like the lane over there with cars backing out or driveways or something, but some reason the data is having it go into this lane consistently. Oh, okay. Well, what do you guys want to talk about today? I tell you what, there's one thing the market wants to talk about, and that's DeepSeek. Holy smokes. Is it rattling everybody? So there's our school zone. See, what, nothing's flashing. It's not flinching. It didn't slow down at all. You know, it really kind of goes into that conversation. It seems like we have just about every time on this stretch of the drive about large language models and what's happening to the market. I'm actually starting to be of the opinion that we don't know all the information yet. You know, while they may be selling this at rock bottom prices, and while they say they've done it with a very small company and underpowered GPUs, I don't know that we know that whole story there. This could definitely be an economic move by larger China with subsidies, with equipment, but it is what it is. It performs the way it performs. How they did it, you know, I guess they're telling us how they did it. We'll have to either do research or determine that, but you know, the commoditization of large language models and how it's going to influence AI is the real part. The fact that it was, oh, look at this. I love this one. See how it left the gap there for that car? Nice job. See, we got a green light, so it wasn't in a rush, but it did see that car waiting, left the gap, and we proceeded. We weren't in a hurry. Really good behavior there. The thing I love about this is that it's forcing the open source discussion again. No matter how this model came to be, the fact that it came out with a paper, it came out with the weights, it came out with, you know, distilled versions that can run all the way down to mobile devices, down to the 1.5 billion parameter model. It's peaking out at 670 billion, I believe, which is going to require probably cloud-based GPUs or multiple servers to kind of run on single model with sharing processing. That is real. Which does kind of drive all the way back to the open versus closed model, right? And, you know, is Meta on the right track with Llama? And is Llama 4 going to be on par? Are these thinking models, you know, this current iteration, or is it all about the agents, or is it the combination of the agents and the thinking models with reasoning that are really making them useful? But, you know, Grok is not completely open source, to my understanding. You know, at least you can't run it in Llama. You got to run it. You can run it through the API, but you can do that with OpenAI also. So now we're kind of down to DeepSeek and Qwen and, you know, a whole bunch of other ones. And, you know, Llama in the open source camp. But the open source thing just sort of really makes you think about how these things are going to evolve. I don't know that open source, I don't know, first of all, isn't going to make money, right? You know, but and or how do you turn it into money by helping consumers use those open source models on their own platform? I can tell you, coming from the enterprise environment, large companies like to have the models embedded so that they can put the wall around them, and then the requests and the data that are stored and being used, there is no question about how the data is being used, because at least it's running on your own servers. So large enterprise has a lot of security concerns that they don't want to worry about with a connected or cloud-based API structure as to how their users will use it and what data will be sent. But anyway, I'm going to get off of that horse a little bit, just because it's obviously the news of the week, and watching it happen is fascinating to watch. I mean, even to the point that the companies that were building themselves around powering these data centers are wondering if they've got the right business model now. I think it's just unbelievable to talk about the entire ecosystem kind of having been hyped up, and probably a little bit of a bubble for where we are. But, you know, do we need that much power and that much data to get to the end game is what everybody's asking. So I hope we get some quick answers and we understand a little bit more, and or some statements get made by the large model providers of what they think about, you know, what was done and what was released, and how they are going to either compete with or, you know, not compete with in some situations, maybe. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I love reading you guys' comments in the first few days that I'm able to get through all the comments of these videos, because there's a lot of knowledge out there in your heads about how this is really playing out. I hadn't had to do much driving since that last disengagement, but of course, this section and highway section hasn't really thrown it any curveballs. It did choose the right lane for this exit this time, whereas in the previous versions, you may have noticed it chose that left lane, because we have to do a left kind of, the left lane is the better lane here for a future lane change, because we've got to change it again here in a second. But you see how these two, or that truck anyway, took that lane. But as we get up here to the end, we're going to have to merge over. See how these two vehicles in the front, I've already done it. And see, here's where the split's coming up. And see, I'm in the exit only lane now. Am I going to get boxed out? Ooh, look at it. It's accelerating next to the truck. Is it going to get in front of the truck and do the lane change? Yeah, it is. The exit only isn't immediate, so it had the time to do it, and maybe it knew it had the time to do it. But now the blinker should be coming on, and it is. So that was completely fine. I'm just noting that it was different than the previous versions on the lane selection, which makes me think it's different, but there's just no way to know on a single drive about repeated behaviors like that. Yeah, so those of you that have been driving the Hardware 3 versions of this build, and reminder, we're on the same basic build number. We're on 2024.45.32.6 now. So the .6 version, we're both on it, but the Hardware 3 folks are getting versions called 12.6.2. So they iterated one more bump. And someone I trust a lot, who I've been, you know, collaborating with since the beginning of FSD testing, Rocco Speranza, has been putting a few videos out from the mountains of North Carolina on Hardware 3 with some significant lane drift issues. And I guess when you cross the center line, you're no longer calling it drift. Drift, I would call hugging a lane line. But when you cross a lane center line, or cross the, get out of the lane and go into the rumble strip on the sides of the roads that have them, that's actually a lane departure. And no model should be doing a lane departure without it being some sort of escape maneuver around other traffic. And I say escape specifically because I mean like to avoid an accident. You know, you shouldn't depart the lane even to go around a semi as long as the semi is in his lane. So I don't know if that was why this didn't go wider, whether there was lane drift issues. The Model Y has not had significant lane drift. The Cybertruck has had some lane hugging issues, but I never saw it to the extent that Rocco was able to document it up in North Carolina. So it just raises some questions. Is this localization? Is this the windiness of the roads or what? So see, this truck here is wanting to merge. It very quickly came over. We had a lead car do the same thing. There were no issues there. And are we hugging the lane, especially for that truck? No, I wouldn't say we are. The visualization is pretty much right on. So we're in standard mode. We're going 64. You can see the cars around me going, you know, much faster. Speed limits going, you know, down to 50 with some barrels for, you know, kind of construction zones during certain times of day. There are no construction workers out right now, so this is just kind of a area of continuous construction. So as we come up to this large dump truck, if we don't change lanes, this is another good example of saying, does it scoot over for large trucks? Is it scooting over too far? I mean, he's well within his lane. And we didn't budge at all. Maybe even went a little closer to him in the visualization than away from him. So I wouldn't say we had any sort of deviation around the large truck there. There was a video clip also. I reposted it on X. It was in a highway environment. It was of a Cyber Beast model. And he was driving down the road. And there was a white pickup truck that was doing some very aggressive, you know, kind of tailgating and lane changing kind of maneuvers. And the Cybertruck was kind of in the blind spot, I guess you could say, of the pickup truck. First of all, the pickup truck was driving very erratically. And the pickup truck very quickly changed lanes over into the lane of the Cybertruck. And the Cybertruck was on FSD. But the Cybertruck stayed engaged, but probably in less than human reaction time, the Cyber Beast basically avoided a collision that would have happened had it stayed in its lane by encroaching the adjacent lane. And this fellow that posted this video showed the repeater camera. I bet there were 2 to 4 inches between the Cyber Beast and that pickup truck. And on FSD, it avoided the collision. And we're good there. It avoided the collision with that level of precision. That was impressive. Now, is that gonna happen every single time? I don't know. I would hope so. I hope we get to that point because that faster than human reaction time is gonna save lives, or it definitely saved money. I know for a fact that Cybertruck would have been in an accident probably had that person been driving. And had that person been driving like the Cybertruck was driving. And I say that specifically because that human driver might have seen that coming more than FSD did. A lot of people were commenting, well, when you see trucks driving like that or vehicles driving like that, you should give them more distance anyway because you never know what you're going to do. And that's a fact. I drive like that. If I see somebody weaving around, I just start backing up and let them have the road because I can't measure what they're going to do. The Cybertruck hadn't done that, and it was just driving in its own lane, minding its own business, and had to react to the erraticness in real time. So, you know, you could argue that maybe the Cybertruck should have predicted that erratic behavior and automatically started giving some room, but I don't think we're to that level of behavior yet where we're assuming bad behavior of other vehicles based on their kind of trajectory. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that FSD should be predicting bad behavior based on trajectories? And if so, do you think we should be there now? Or is this just something we're waiting on maybe as we start to finalize it? I don't know. I think that it's possible to measure that kind of behavior, especially if it's very erratic. Just speeding, though, I don't know. I think you might need something more than just speeding. you know, can FSD measure tailgating in a car ahead? Could you tell if somebody was getting too close to another vehicle, or is the car only worried about its own, you know, bubble? All good things to think about and we can look for in the future. Okay, so we're doing this right turn here that is a yield. We happen to be following another Model Y behavior, and pay attention to the road, Chuck. I'm trying to pay attention. I'm still waiting for icons to show actual Teslas like we've apparently been supposedly having for 3 years now to render Teslas as Teslas, but that isn't happening. That would really be cool though, especially obvious ones like Cybertrucks and, you know, Model Ys, Model 3s, S's. I mean, come on, you ought to be able to tell. But maybe they just don't want to spend the assets on the screen. You know, this screen is not the end game of the problem. So maybe they don't want to dedicate an engineer, to doing that. I don't know. So far, what, we're about halfway through the drive. How does it feel? Other than the beginning, which was very bad. I don't know. Very bad's not, I guess I should say very bad as compared to the last few. Those immediate disengagements were unusually and not expected. I guess we'll just see how the end of the drive does. A lot of people don't really like how Dan sometimes takes my videos and posts them. Just so you guys know, I'm kind of entertained by it. I think it's hilarious that Dan is, you know, continuing to follow my videos. And I'm talking about Dan O'Dowd, because we're coming up here to the Memorial Park location where I continue to try to back into the chain and see if it'll park into the chain, because it can't see change yet. Obviously, we'll see if it can do it on this one. I did get, and thank you for some, whoever reminded me of this on the last video, thank you for saying that, because it just went into my head. When we get up here, the reason it's backing into the chain for sure is because it's a different stack. Auto Park is a different stack. You can tell the buttons are different. You have to engage it with a different button. That's all just different. But there was a commenter that asked if I could position the car in a way that it needs to back up in order to continue the drive in the FSD stack. Got an interesting scenario here. Usually don't have a car pulling in there at this location, but it just it reacted fine. We do have a car parallel parking up here that might need a little bit more room. Is it gonna see how he's going forward? What's he gonna do? Oh, see how? It didn't give him as much room as I thought it was gonna give him. It acknowledged his movement, slowed down, but once he went back into reverse, it kind of just kind of went around and with plenty of room. Okay, can you see this chain up here? So this is the parking space Dan O'Dowd loves. So I'm gonna go ahead and disengage there, and I'm gonna enter park and start. And you see, it's gonna do a 3-point. It can see these spots just fine. And we're gonna see here, it's gonna try to back into the chain, and I'm gonna have to disengage. Okay, so that's the same. It didn't change. I still can't see it. But what this fellow wanted me to do was try to continue the drive from a situation that might require reverse. Okay, so while I can see that chain just fine in the screen, so I know it's there, I'm going to put the car in an awkward spot like this, that in order to get out of it, to continue the drive, it needs to back up. Okay, so you see what I've got going here? Okay, so it is gonna back into that chain. I'm gonna try it again and see if I can let it go a little bit further. Meaning like, it was going so fast, it didn't feel like it was gonna slow down. And because it doesn't have any sort of heat map behind it, I know it's not gonna stop. See, it's in vision, so the vision, the curb's up in front. So there's the reverse. Okay, yeah. Shucks. Okay, so I think that pretty much says it still can't see the chains in either stack, which is kind of expected. It's a skinny chain, but I can see it. So I don't know. I guess FSD needs to know not to park into it, or you're going to ding up your fender in that situation. So whoever recommended that, thank you for that idea. It was a really good idea because to my point that I was trying to make, there are different stacks, right? The parking stack could be way behind this end-to-end driving stack where we have speed profiles and everything like that. So that was a really, really good idea. I love that kind of feedback. So please, in my comments on both X and YouTube or everywhere else I post these podcasts too, don't forget, I started a podcast, and if you just want to listen to me banter rather than watch it, or maybe listen to it first or listen to it later, just look for Chuck Hook on all your podcasting sites, and I'm distributing that out there. I'm not getting a lot of take on that, so I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it, but right now I'm getting about 60 or 70 downloads of each podcast so far, and that's not horrible, but it doesn't compare to anything else, so I don't have much reach that way, and I'm trying to evaluate whether or not it's worth my time to do that additional uploading and formatting and stuff like that. Okay, so we're going into the cul-de-sac next. I just wanted to make sure that I was right. And you notice it didn't go into the gore section this time like it did on that last drive. On that last drive, it went into those crosshatch areas without even flinching. All right, so let's see where it puts itself. I'm going to try to create the three-point turn up here for you guys this time. Last time, it just did the turn itself. So where are you going to put yourself? There's no spots to the right, so you're just going to stop here. What are you going to do? The POI is basically right here. I want it to get itself in a bad spot. It still has the cul-de-sac. Look at that. Okay, well, I didn't even delete the cul-de-sac. It's just, it did the three-point turn on its own. See where it puts itself. Oh, look, is it going to park in that loading zone? No. What are you going to do? We're just going to go in circles. This is kind of fun. What are you going to do? Okay. Okay, you got your blinker. You got your right blinker on. Okay. You can try to park in that spot. There's a car there. You can see that, right? Of course you can. It's map. Okay. Are we going to do merry-go-round? I don't know. I want to see it stop and say arrived at some point. You get it back in there. That's a different angle. You hadn't done that yet. Okay, I can see you. No? Okay. Well, you got definitely. Okay. You going to park there? That would be a good spot. Nope. You got your left blinker on. Okay. Oh, you got to pull into this private property with a fence. Can you see the fence? What are you going to do? It's like I've got it in a neural network do loop. It hadn't ended the drive yet. This is where the park and unpark with precision is going to come in, because right now it's just fishing around for a place that is suitable to park. I'm guessing, and there is a parallel parking spot right there next to me it could park. The thing is I don't even think it can remember all of these places it sees. Like, there's an actual spot right there. That's not even a loading zone spot. It does say reserved. This is what I would have expected to do. Just pull up right here and stop and say you've arrived. Hey, it finally did. How many turns did we do on that one? That was actually hilarious. Okay, now I'm just going to say FSD hold and continue the drive. Now that waypoint has sequenced, but wow, that's the first time that's ever happened to where, well, it just continued to play itself out in a big, weird little loop. But it just never ended up where it felt like it could stop. Another nice looking blue Model Y there. All right, well, let's continue our drive. I might have to post that clip just because it was hilarious. It ended up being fine. I don't know that I'm going to call it a highlight reel, but the behavior was definitely very interesting. Let me know what you guys think about that one. What were we talking about before this? Let's see, we've talked about the Cyber Beast, we've talked about DeepSeek, we've talked about version 6.2, 12.6.2. Cybertruck. I haven't, I'm in the process of wrapping my Cybertruck. My my Cybertruck G at Test Bros, you know, kind of talked me into it, and he didn't talk me into it. I asked him, and he said, "Yeah, let's do it." And I said, "I'd love to do a matte black." And so now I'm trying to do a DIY wrap myself on my Cybertruck myself in matte black. And the biggest part is I'm trying to do it outside. This is against the rules, even the rules, the recommendations, even on the video's instructions say, do it inside, do it in a garage, do it in a controlled area, wear the right clothes. Truck backing out here, he's backing out, two cars backing out. I'm now waiting. Is he going to continue? He continued. I'm blocking this car. So a lot of dynamics there. It doesn't necessarily see the lights, I don't think, as much as the trajectory of the car asking to come out. It stopped just fine for that car. We've got a kind of a yard worker here with a blower, and you see he's in the crosswalk area, and until he walked away from the crosswalk, it wouldn't proceed. So that was interesting because his face was not pointing our direction, but his body was in that little crosswalk area. And until he walked away, even with his back towards the crosswalk, it didn't budge, or at least it didn't plan on budging. All right, this is our a weird little waypoint again. Last time it went straight. Let's see what it does this time. Remember, this is that circle it can't fit around. It's got its right, oh, it's going the wrong way this time. Oh, and okay. So now it can't make that. And it just realized it couldn't make it. So it didn't even try to make it. And it's pulling over to the right and parking. Interesting. And if you look, I'm not really at the POI. And I didn't pull up enough for that car behind me to be comfortable. I'm not really, if you look in, out of the back, see, oh, we don't have a, let's see. Yeah, you can see there. Do you see me operating the camera as if I had a bumper camera like on the Cybertruck? That's what it looks like out of the back. So I'm really not in the spot. It has not ended the drive yet. I'm still in drive. It's got the spot up in front of me kind of marked like it can't go any farther forward. I don't know what it's going to do. I mean, last time I let it go. I mean, would you say with that POI, oh, it is backing up. Okay. Yep. It's clear. It waited a long time to do that though, didn't it? So now what are you going to do? Okay. It was going to go over there, which it couldn't do with a car behind me. So I disengaged there. I'm going to give that a mark. Just because it was, you see, these are angled parking spots. Oop, I mean, that car was proceeding with the green light. Yep, that was all good. So, see how it rewinds back to that point. This is what it should have done from the get-go. I don't know why it pulled over to that spot. And this is very unfair also. Actually, I may just go ahead and edit this trip and that point because I kind of want to go straight here. And it has redone that. When's it going to turn its blinker off? Okay, just figured it out. So the POIs I have are not precisely placed to generate certain behaviors. They're just spots I picked on the map that I wanted to go that are interesting. And I reuse them. When we get this part of the release notes that is about park and unpark and precision parking, this is where we're really going to be able to say, I want to park in this spot. I want you to go to this location, not this POI, a point of interest. You know, a POI is based off of an address. Like if you put your house address in there, it doesn't know where your driveway is, right? It doesn't know where the entrance to your driveway is without learning or some sort of memory. And we talked about memory last time, if you remember, about that Titans paper that Google Research put out and if that could be applied. I did reach out to Tesla Engineering and asked the few folks I knew if they could tell me anything about Titans and if Tesla was using Titans. And I got the usual answer of, you know, hey, Chuck, thank you very much for, you know, reaching out. We won't talk about technical details of our model. So, which is perfectly fine. I just, you know, we figured out I would ask and see if I'd get any different response. A biker up here on the other side, he's crossing lanes there to kind of get out of my way. Didn't overreact at all there on that. That was a good interaction. Nothing it really had to do. Looks like there's some trash cans out on the side of the road. doesn't really have to go around them because they're in parking spaces, but they are showing up on the occupancy network as expected. So back to the park and unpark piece. That is going to be, honestly, one of the end functions, the end game pieces of what a robotaxi will need to complete a drive, to arrive and to complete a drive. We'll need some precision parking capability. It'll have to be some sort of app-based thing. Maybe we'll have it on the screen too. And not that I've seen any of the apps, but you know, if they are actually testing a robotaxi app in Palo Alto or somewhere in California, as they previously said, you know, I would love to see the UI. You know, is it like a Uber or a Lyft app where you get to move your actual location where you want to be picked up or where you are located? You know, like a lot of times if you say, pick me up at this hotel, you need to move the pin to the right entrance of the hotel if it's got multiple entrances, especially on main roads or side roads where you're going to be with your bag. I think the park and unpark needs to kind of get closer to that level of precision. And then the car can go find its way to that location, much like you saw back in that cul-de-sac scenario where it was just fishing around to find where it needed to go with just a raw point of interest parking spot. So that'll be good to see. Obviously, with the Model Y having reverse, it's you know, much closer than the Cybertruck is, where the Cybertruck can't even do a three-point turn yet to get itself in a spot or out of a spot. Those are just features yet to come. So the Cybertruck. On that subject. There's still a lot to do on this model. And honestly, we have had those upcoming features a little bit longer than I think I expected. You know, when we got this version kind of in the holiday release before Christmas timeframe, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, they got it out there. But okay, there were a few things that weren't quite done yet that they pushed. You know, here we are, end of January, going to be February soon. And the release notes really haven't changed, which kind of puts a lot of timelines into question that perhaps have been put out there about, you know, releasing FSD in China and other places, you know, later this year. Are they at that point yet? Or were those comments made based off of where they thought they were going to be? I don't know. What do you guys think about that? It is earnings week, so we do have earnings on Wednesday with Tesla. So that is another opportunity to perhaps get some information out of leadership to see where they are, where their milestones are. For sure, we'll get the number of FSD miles driven. Sales numbers, perhaps, of the new Model Y have probably gone through the roof. You know, I'm sure there was an initial pent-up demand curve there for that new Model Y. There were definitely a lot of people I knew that were waiting on Juniper to be released in order to get a new car. And listen, having that front bumper camera is a big deal for the Juniper version. And it's a great thought to wonder if the AI4 computers can take a retrofit for that camera and even a bigger retrofit for the Hardware 3 cars that may or may not get an upgrade at some point in the future based on their ability to do unsupervised. You know, I am of the opinion that Hardware 3 is not going to get an upgrade to Hardware 4 until Hardware 4 has proven itself as being possible for unsupervised, because that is specifically what Elon said in that statement, was that they would upgrade Hardware 3 cars if they prove that it can't do unsupervised. They didn't say if it can't be on par with Hardware 4. That wasn't what was said, because if Hardware 4 can't do unsupervised, then the Hardware 3 cars theoretically would need to be upgraded to Hardware 5 or 6 or whatever version meets the standard. So there was a lot nested in there, and honestly, I think a lot of Hardware 3 owners, myself included, who owned the Hardware 3 at the time, heard what they wanted to hear with respect to the, and I'll put air quotes around it, promise of unsupervised driving. So, I don't know. I don't think that Hardware 3 is going to be unsupervised at all. I've never thought that. I still don't think this Hardware 4 car is going to be unsupervised without constraining the operational domain. So that means you can only go on this road, you can only go on that road. I mean, we saw two situations on this drive that were randomly scary. And that randomly scary is what worries me the most, is that I could probably go to those exact same corners right now, and it would do just fine. And that uncertainty using a probabilistic solution such as a neural network just kind of makes me wonder, we just have to have enough miles to where none of those things happen with us, so many miles that we have to get there. And I just don't know if we're going to be able to get there on this hardware yet. It may get there. I don't know. We're not there yet. So how far it is in the future is all speculation. And I know you guys love to try to get me to speculate on it. And I just don't like to because I have no idea. I am still firm in my beliefs that the B pillar is an inferior solution for lateral visibility of high speed cross traffic. It's just inferior. Whether or not they can make it work, that's to be determined. But there's no doubt about it. It is not a superior solution to the problem from an engineering perspective. There's a lot better ways to have solved it that would have required more sensors or sensors in different locations or changing to the hardware platform, put what they've already baked into their training models and all of that. But that's not the point. The point is, is it going straight? Oh, it should have gone left. It completely went the wrong way on this turn. And look what it's done here. Okay, if you see what it did, this is that crazy intersection with a gazillion lights. It missed its angle, that turn right there. So it went to the light, and now it's turning left. So it missed its turn. It's completely legal, I think. It just isn't the way the intersection is designed. And now it's going straight, whereas last time it went that way. So we definitely have solved the same problem a different way again on this version. Meaning like it didn't. Now see, here's another one. I would go to the light and turn right. And instead you're choosing a side street with a stop sign to merge onto that road. See, this is all just the planner though. I mean, and that's a perfectly logical thing for a planner to do. Go, why would I go there when I can go there? Because the planner isn't assessing this is a harder intersection than the last one. I mean, look at this acute angle. Now granted, the repeater camera has a perfect visibility of this intersection, probably more so than me because I've got to crank my neck around. But the point is it was like a block away from a traffic signal and it should have just used the traffic signal because this is actually high speed traffic in some scenarios. So that was an interesting planner decision. A lot of people have asked me some questions about the planner, including Teslatino, Roth. He's asked a few questions about why is it sometimes doing things that the planner doesn't say to do, and why does sometimes it follows the planner even though it's not the best thing to do. I can't answer those. It's the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde syndrome of, I think there's still two brains in there, and sometimes one brain wins over the other one. We do have a good merge coming up here with this car. You see, this is the speed timing worked out. Is it going to try to get out of his way? It kind of slowed down to leave room for him a little bit, didn't it? It didn't change lanes. It just kind of backed off to leave a gap. That was good. Nice and polite there with the speed and everything. Yeah, the planner has not really evolved much that I can tell. And it may be waiting on this precision park and unpark thing. There may be so much going into precision planning at the end and beginning of drives that they just haven't bothered to change it much. You know, it does say it's got the capability of rerouting around dynamic traffic. So that bullet in the release notes has a lot into it, especially with other things like potholes and other things that could be reported in the future. That part of the planner could be what's being worked on, even though we don't see much of it yet. You know, being dynamically routed around a closed road is kind of like the Schrodinger cat thing. You know, do you even really know the cat's dead or alive until you open the box? And you kind of go the other way and say, do you really know the road's closed if you never go there? And as a driver, I don't know. It's taking me where it's taking me. It doesn't say rerouting due to closed road. So I don't know. Maybe the bullet note for that release note should be named the Schrodinger routing because it's just going to do it for you. Or maybe that's what I'll call it. That doesn't really make sense to most people. But Same thing with following traffic on any other app. You know, do you blindly follow it because you've been burned so many times by thinking you know better and going your usual way? And then once you go your usual way, you realize why it rerouted you. I mean, it only takes getting burned once or twice really bad before you just start to blindly follow Waze or Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever your planner of choice is in your own vehicle today. And then you just trust it. I'm already pretty much at the point with this planner of trusting it because I'm letting it do the supervised driving part of it, right? So I'm letting it drive anyway. So I'm trying to interfere with it less than I might normally if I was manually driving. So I don't know, being dynamically rerouted about things that we never get to see without a notification of why is an interesting concept. Any of you have ever taken a cab in New York, or if you've ever been in a cab with somebody from New York and you've watched the New Yorkers tell the cabbies how to go up and down, uptown and downtown on a certain day based off of what they think is best. And you could even argue if you've ever watched Seinfeld, you've seen, you know, those actors, you know, do it on a sitcom about telling the cabbie which way to go. I would argue very dynamic situation here with mowers ahead. I'm not in that lane, so we didn't have to go around it, but you can just watch how the other cars were having to react, and the Tesla did just fine continuing on its own path. It didn't overreact to a stopped car there. It did see it on the screen. But my point about saying telling the cab how to drive in New York goes back to when this vehicle is unsupervised, or let's just say the robo-taxi in the future that hopefully is being designed to be unsupervised. If you're sitting in the back and you see the cab taking you a certain way, are you going to get annoyed and say, why did you go that way? Or are you going to have any input to tell it which way to go? Or are you just selecting a destination and I don't care which way to go? In my mind, when you're in the back seat of a cyber cab, you're probably just going to let it do its thing because there's not actually a human to interact with like a cab driver. And the UI in the back is probably not going to give you the ability of choosing a route. Maybe we will. I mean, you choose a route today, you've got a couple gray routes that you can tap on. Maybe they'll pass that down to the cyber cab. I don't know. That could be a good way of doing it if you wanted to choose a route. But I think that the absence of a human in an unsupervised cab scenario will change the dynamic so much of, you know, A, you know, if you're not comfortable being in the car with someone, it's going to fix that problem. B, you're not going to have the impulse to try to tell it how to do its job, how fast to go, which way to go, and can you hurry? You know, you're going to have an ETA on your screen in the back, and you're going to have the route it picks, and you're going to have probably a hurry, standard, or chill mode type of a setting to give that they've already implemented to say, you know, how do you want me to behave in getting you there? You know, are you comfortable with me changing lanes a lot, which would imply hurry? I don't know, just some thoughts on that, you know, possibility in the future that I can start to see, you know, tie into the planner and the decisions it makes and all of the layers of information that soon can be added to how it chooses the route that we may not even get insight into as a supervisor or eventually an unsupervised passenger. That was a long comment. All right, so we have been driving for getting close to an hour. Thank you all for sticking with me this far. If you're still here, I love it when you guys tell me you made it to the end and how many minutes you made it till. You never tell me if you did it at 2x speed or not. Maybe start throwing that in there. If you listen to this at 1x speed and you made it all the way through, make sure you tell me. Or do you listen at 2x or 1.5x? I love to hear people's technique on that. I try to listen to things at 2x and I just can't. 1.5, I sort of can, but I still don't absorb the information right. So all of my podcasts, I just listen at 1x, and when it's over, it's over. I do think on video, though, I am a little bit more impulsive to watch things a little bit faster sometimes, but I find myself skipping rather than listening to it at faster speeds by dragging the slider across, which I know makes me miss important facts, but that's just where my technique is. I don't know, if I were gonna give this a grade, I'm gonna give it a little bit of a lower grade than the last build, only because we did have two very uncomfortable interventions, disengagements at the beginning of the drive. The unprotected left-hand turns definitely felt different. They might need some independent testing on this version, just because it definitely was not taking gaps that I expected it to, and just behaved a little, whoa, look at this. You see it? That was a disengagement. and it won't even take it, give me a voice comment because we're too close to the end of point. It completely took the wrong lane there. And it's never done that at that intersection. Now, granted, a lot of times I have intersections where it's got to go around a car there, but it was completely comfortable going in the wrong lane there, which goes back to Rocco's lane drift thing. It has never done that before. All right, so that makes it easy for me to say this is definitely a worse build than the last build. So if you're here at the very end and you watch this all the way through, thank you for that. Leave comments below. Let me know what you think. And maybe we'll see you on the next one. Who knows if this is going to go wide or not? My guess is it has a risk of not going as wide, but I can't predict those things. Have a great day, everybody.